So if you're saying to Jesus, I'm in pain in my body, in my heart, in my relationships, in my marriage, in my workplace, in my depression, wherever you are saying, Jesus, I'm in pain, he believes you.
Yeah.
And he takes it seriously and it matters to him.
Yeah. Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
We're so glad you're with us this week, More Than Small Talk friends. We are talking about some stories of women in the Bible. And we talked about the Samaritan woman. And this week, we're going to talk about the woman who reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment and received healing. So we just wanted to revisit these familiar stories and look at them from kind of a new perspective.
Yeah. You know, we were talking with Rachel Scott last week. I hope you go back. We've had a couple of really beautiful interviews in this last month. Check out Lisa Whittles as well with I Want God. But as we talked with these women, we're really honestly talking about taking some leaps, mm-hmm. some risk. And I believe that this woman that had the issue of blood, she took a huge risk, a huge leap. Mm-hmm. In pursuit of her own healing.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you give us a quick recap of the story as we dive in?
So there's this woman. She's had, they called it an issue of blood. And we don't know exactly what that means. But we know that it hits her twofold. One is she's been to multiple doctors and no one can help her. So physically, she's either very anemic and very sick. But second, because it has to do with blood, it makes her unclean. Mm. So it isolates her. So she's sick and isolated. Mm. And so one day Jesus is walking through a crowd. And when we're talking crowd, we're not talking just a few people around them. They were so pressing on him. The crowd was so vast and so large that literally you would not be able to differentiate between, you know, who's touching you because everybody's touching you. Mm-hmm. But suddenly Jesus stops and he says, who touched me? And this woman had crept through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, which meant that she was crouched down. Mm-hmm. She had knees and elbows and robes and everything pressed around her. And in desperation, she reached because she believed if she could shut, there was hope in that. And Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And his disciples looked at him and were like, what are you talking about? I mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. And the reason that Jesus asked that is he felt healing virtue go from his body. Mm-hmm. So he knew that somebody had touched them and that something miraculous was taking place. And so in this moment, this woman, again, she's not going to leap up and say, oh, it was me. Because she just did something that's considered wrong. And Jesus calls her daughter, mm-hmm. which I love. Mm-hmm. And she is miraculously healed that day. So that is the story of that. This was mm-hmm. a woman who was in such a desperate place that she was willing to take a leap, to take a risk in pursuit of her own healing.
Yeah. I absolutely love this woman. I think she's one of my favorites, but I feel like there's two things. It's the element of healing and the pursuit of healing, which she exhausted all of her resources. And the second is her identity. She had been the sick girl for so long yes. and isolated. And so I think that that's why this is so powerful is because she never gave up on being whole and healed.
Yeah.
But what she got in addition to that, the identity of daughter.
Yeah.
Wow. I think she's so powerful and brave and gutsy to do what she did.
Yeah.
And so I think that you can be sick or, you know, have chronic illness or whatever it is. Maybe it's depression and anxiety or something like that and still be very brave and very gutsy and not give up on yourself and finding exactly what you need to be whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what Jesus says to her is, take heart, daughter.
Uh-huh. He does.
Take heart, daughter. And when I read the story and came across that phrase, I thought, wow, everyone else around her thought her problem was losing blood. Mm. And Jesus saw the real risk was that she would lose a heart. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would say for all of us, we can ask today, she was losing blood. What are you losing today? Mm. Are you losing hope? Are you losing peace? Are you losing sleep? Are you losing a dream? Are you losing a relationship? What in your life are you losing that you keep trying to hold on to or to heal, and you've come to the end of yourself and your resources? Jesus sees that.
Yeah.
And he is still saying, take heart, daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wants to give us what we need most in the seasons where we feel like we just keep losing something that really matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've heard from those of you who are out there listening. And one of the things that you said that the reason you keep coming back, and we're so thankful for this, that you said that we're kind of raw and honest. Yeah. And we want to be that way, because it is. But has there been a time for all of us sitting here that we've come to a place where we've just fought and fought and fought, and we find ourselves in that desperate place? I know I have, for sure. And what does that look like?
Oh, I mean, I've had many, many moments where the depression seemed overwhelming. And that it was going to take me under. And then there's just something, you know, what it looks like for me when I'm at the end of my rope or the end of myself. It looks a lot like sleeping a lot and not eating well, just wrestling, trying to be okay. But there's also this moment where it's always lifted. There's always been a shift. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know eventually I'm going to be okay. And I just hold out for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we went through, I've mentioned this before, almost a decade of infertility, you know, and we did all the, like, go to the doctors, do all the things, try everything. And it just never worked, you know? And I felt like Jesus did this for me, that, like, he kept me from losing heart.
Yeah.
You know, he said over and over again, take heart, daughter, take heart, daughter. And it turned out he had our daughter Lavelle for us, and we adopted her, and she's been in our lives over a decade now. And we get to be Nana and Poppy to her littles too. And the story's completely different than what I thought it would look like, but I wouldn't trade it.
No,
you know? And so I think that that is one scenario in my life where I relate to this woman of, man, sometimes it feels like I could lose heart over this. And yet Jesus is still saying, take heart, daughter. Your story's not finished yet.
Yeah, right.
And I went through the same thing. I know that you've miscarried and went through all of that. But there was a season for 3 years where I was very, very ill and trying to going to the doctor, doing all the things. I had experienced great loss. And it took a lot longer than I wanted, but that healing came and I was able to bring two beautiful babies. But I think that that's another element of why I love her so much, is because I've been there. I've been that kind of desperate to where you'll be like, oh, try this vitamin. Okay. Go to this woo-woo doctor and try this. Okay. Like, you know, try goat yoga upside down. Like, you know, whatever it takes when you are desperate to feel better. To feel anything other than what you're feeling, you will do anything. But what really works is just being a crowd surfer and going for that hymn and reaching for it. That is what's always been that lifeline for me.
Yeah. Well, and I look at her and I feel like, and I have said this to you guys before, I feel like she's a warrior. Mm-hmm. I really do, because if you really put this into the visual, if you imagine what she's doing, I mean, she's being buffeted by people's knobby knees and, you know, kicked by their sandals as she's just trying to get through the crowd to get to Jesus. And yet she's such a warrior, because And this is not on her. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put this on the person who needs healing, who desperate for healing in whatever area. I'm just saying she knew where to go.
Yeah.
And she was willing to do that. Mm-hmm. But what I also love is, as she did, he immediately knew, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
She was not lost in the crowd. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her faith literally stopped him in his tracks. And that's what I really, really love is that, you know, and of course the disciples are like, why are you saying who touched me? Everybody is like literally all over you and touching you. But he knew that that kind of touch was different because of her faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mentioned in our episode about the Samaritan woman that I'm doing this study, Jesus and Women by Christine McClelland. And she talked about this story as well. And so she explained that what the woman actually touched would have been the hem of Jesus's prayer shawl.
Yes.
That had these tassels hanging down mm-hmm. from it. And so the prayer shawl of a rabbi was called his wings. And so when you read like under his wings, you will find refuge. Mm-hmm. And at the end of Malachi, where there's a prophecy about the Messiah, it says the Son of Righteousness will come with healing in his wings. Mm-hmm. And then there was silence for 400 years.
Yeah.
And so Chrissy says she thinks this woman likely knew that verse. You know, there's healing in his wings.
Yeah.
If I can just touch his wings, I will be healed. And so even at synagogues to this day, the rabbis will lift the wings of their prayer shawl open and gather all the children under them mm-hmm. and pray blessings over them.
I love that.
And so even her being called daughter, as after she has touched the edge of Jesus's prayer shawl, mm-hmm. after she's come as close as she can get to being under his wings.
Yes.
Like it's such mm-hmm. a beautiful picture to
me. And that changes the picture for me. That is mm-hmm. beautiful, Holly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
And also our good friend, Kathy Lipp, who was on this podcast before, yeah. she wrote a post for the website Encourage about this story. And what she focused on was she said, Jesus believed her.
Yes. Mm.
And how many of us, Kathy had gone into a situation with a doctor where she had not been believed.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. probably this woman too had been through the same. Mm-hmm. And how so often, especially for women in our culture, we are in pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Physical, emotional, and we go to someone who should be a healer in our lives.
Yeah.
And we are not believed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that can cause us to lose heart.
Yes.
And so Kathy said what spoke to her most in the story was Jesus believed her.
Yeah.
So if you're saying to Jesus, I'm in pain in my body, in my heart, in my relationships, in my marriage, in my workplace, in my depression, wherever you are saying, Jesus, I'm in pain, he believes you.
Yeah.
And he takes it seriously and it matters to him.
Yeah. And he takes you under his wing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, you know, as we have walked through our own seasons, what does it look like to pursue God's prayer shawl, to pursue touching the hem of his garment? What might that look like? And I'll start. For me, it starts with being able to be honest about I am sick or I am hurting. Or this is what's to be able to clarify for myself and not feel weak in that, not feel like that somehow, that's actually honesty between myself and my Savior to say, this is how I'm feeling and this is what I'm battling. And then to talk to him about it freely and honestly, knowing that I can touch the hem of his garment. So that honesty for me mm-hmm. is a first point.
Yeah, I think. I like that she just barely touched the edge of his garment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she did something seemingly so small and so simple. She didn't go through a 10-step healing process spend hours or.
Nope.
And so I think for me so often, it's just taking the next small step that I feel like God is putting on my heart. And sometimes that's having a conversation with someone I trust and saying, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's making a doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's prayer. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's music, going for a walk, taking a nap, eating a snack.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love that what she did was so small and simple mm-hmm. and
so impactful.
I think so. Yeah. It makes me feel the freedom to ask, what is the next smallest thing mm-hmm. God is inviting me to do?
Yeah.
And doing that and trusting he'll meet me there mm-hmm. and then he'll show me the next small thing.
Yeah.
If that is how he chooses to do it. Sometimes he heals us all at once, but I think a lot of time in this lifetime, it's a process.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so I think that's it. What is the next small thing God is inviting me to do today? Mm-hmm. Whether that's practical or spiritual or relational or all of the above sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I think that I kind of go into prayer mode, but like writing out my prayers. That's one thing that helps me stay engaged and not get distracted. But I will journal and pray that way. And then I also love to like gather information if I'm going through something like depression or whatever, seasonal, whatever it is. I do a lot of research and I know that that brings you a lot of comfort to like bring in as much knowledge as you can on something. But I just think learning about like where I'm at or where someone else is at in their healing journey and then just praying about it and then figuring out what's next, like you said, Holly.
Yeah. Well, and the most powerful part of this is even not what she did.
Yeah.
It's who she was to him.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for me today, it would be writing across the top of a paper, take heart, daughter.
Yeah.
Take heart, daughter. Knowing that I am seen, you are seen. Holly, you're seen. Kara, you're seen. Jennifer, you're seen. The person listening right now, you are seen. And, That small tentative reaching out and touching the hem of his garment, you're seen, but it's also felt. Mm-hmm. It's also felt. There's connection there.
Mm-hmm.
And something beautiful happens as we do. And that is that we can take heart because our identity is as a daughter of the Most High God.
Yeah. And you are believed and you are not just one person in the crowd of Jesus.
Yes.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.